Hi, the name's New Bronner, Dion New Bronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership, where I chew the fat with guests from many walks of life. Yep, I ponder the big questions, and we play around with some less significant ones too. I sometimes unpick the practice of leadership, delving into what it means to many. We laugh and we explore what it is to live with purpose and meaning. I hope you find the chat as useful as I have having it. Life, purpose, leadership. In this episode, which is in two parts, Michelle Sheen and I explore what is the gold within us. What is our true essence, our bliss, our real nature and potential, our purpose? What is being and being in flow?
So Jung talks about making the subconscious conscious. Mm. And then we can go into what is consciousness. But it is an awareness, I would say. You know, our conscious mind is where we are aware of what we are doing. But yet our subconscious tries and talks to us constantly through what he calls synchronicities or dreams or all those things. And we don't listen because we're so busy within the conscious analytical mind that we go, oh, you know, whatever. But I had a dream. So I had a dream, this recurring dream when I was, it must have been about six because we were living in Windhoek at the time. And the dream was very traumatic for me at the time. It was like, it obviously stuck out. Like my whole life I've known about this dream. I haven't really talked or thought about it recently until we were on a networking call the other day. And someone we know on the call, we were three people in the room and we were just saying, you know, that we were coming back out of the breakout room back to the main room and we were just going to say something. And I asked her, I see we have a mutual friend on Facebook and I just wanted to check, does she actually know him? Because he's, you know, a very dear friend and it would be quite interesting to know the connection. But it was just at the end of the going back and she said, yes, this is a good example of the red thread or something about the red thread. And I was like, it kind of triggered something, but went through the call and everything was fine. And I was busy writing a blog and this just came back to me. I'm like, the red thread. This was in my dream. I was sitting in my parents' room, had a side section, and there was a red thread. I was sitting watching TV and I was following this red thread out their room, down the hallway. And there was a wooden sliding door at the kitchen. And the red thread ended under this older lady dying in the kitchen doorway. And the red thread stopped underneath her. So now I'm like on this whole red thread search story. And it's interesting even talking to Colm because it's all about Jung also is a lot about dreams and the archetypes and female and you know, then I go back to what was happening around that time. But I mean, this is now a few years after I was 6 years old and it's still following me. It's still now I'm actually realizing what my subconscious was trying to explain to me back then, but it's so relevant to me right now in the messaging that I'm getting. And it's like it's blowing my mind. And that's all subconscious. It's not the analytical mind.
Hmm. Yeah. But so what are you saying there then?
That analytical mind gets in the way because I'm busy doing stuff. I didn't think about the meanings of dreams or things because I need to do. But by doing, I quiet the subconscious, who's actually quite a clever kind of character in your life. That's where the messaging comes from because we already know, we already understand, but we're not listening.
Yeah, you see, I think The tragedy is that when people do, they do as a consequence of the cerebral analytical brain. They do driven by that, and they do almost autopilotly.
Exactly.
And I talk about doing for being's sake. So doing intentionally is not autopilot. And I talk about that in my book, that and if one does intentionally, purposefully, then one's fully present and one's open to the presence within, that intuitive nature within. And as a result, we are being in that moment.
Yeah.
But the first step is doing intentionally. And I think that's the distinction I'm trying to make here, is that it leads to this intuitive nature that we have. But the distinction is doing in an autopilot kind of way, which is very cerebral, very cognitive. And then for me, there's doing intentionally, which is intuitive.
Yeah.
And I believe we are capable of doing both. We just haven't seen the value or being open to or allowed ourselves permission, whatever I said before, to doing intentionally.
Yeah, and I think we get hung up sometimes by doing. Yeah, okay. So it would be kind of like I'm struggling to meditate these days because I'm not doing. I'm not making myself sit down. So I'm not getting my body to go and sit and do my meditation. So that would be the doing part of it.
You're probably getting caught up in your head more because you're not doing. And when you are doing, you're in your head. So then you're not doing intentionally. You are doing for doing's sake.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And accept in that moment the degree of meditation that I'm doing. If there's such a phrase.
Yeah.
Because with that acceptance means that I have an intention in that doing.
While letting go.
Absolutely. When I work with people, when we talk about public speaking or the work that I do with people, I say, have an intention for your talk or going into that meeting. So just recently I ran a peer group session with 6 people that had been on our residential before, and they're now coming together once every 2 months. And we're exploring how to live more fully through our purpose. And one of the ways I suggest is that if we do intentionally, whilst at the same time when we do intentionally, we let go of attachment to the outcome, then we're being. So I suggest, how do you do intentionally? So when you go into that meeting, find a word that motivates you. It's usually a word that represents one of your values. So for example, I want to go into a meeting and I want to listen more, or I feel like I need to listen more, or I feel like I need to hear what they are saying more. If I keep telling myself that, I probably won't. I probably won't do that because I'm in my head and I'm cerebrally understanding this or cognitively trying to figure this out. But if I found a word that is associated or connected to one of my values, that is, so it's something that's really important to me, that is relevant to me, important to me, but relevant to the situation and relevant to how I want to be in the situation. And therefore that leads to the listening and the hearing what other people say. I need to find that word. And I help people find those words. So for example, it might be, for me, it would be curiosity. And to be curious for me is to do certain things. Here's the doing bit, right? Mm-hmm. If I want to do what I just suggested, the call to action is to listen more and hear what they're having to say. And I work back from that and I go, well, the word for me that motivates me to facilitate that, then I need to be more curious. But the word curious means a significant thing to me in terms of what I need to do. So that I then go into that meeting having curiosity as my intention. But I don't hold fast to and get fixated on that word and only that word and what that word means. So I walk into that meeting with an attitude of mind or a way of being that is curious. And as a result, I behave in a certain way. I act in a certain way. I do in a certain way. That doing will lead to you being if you let go of your fixation for what you believe it should result in.
Yeah, so letting go of the outcome.
Yes.
But visualizing the intent.
Absolutely. Visualizing how I will be when I am embodying that intent.
Yes.
But I know.
Your understanding of that word curious. So for Absolutely. Your understanding of curious would involve all those things that only you really understand. Because
Totally. It's all me. And the word curious to me will mean something. And it will mean something in terms of the things that I will say, do, feel,
move,
whatever.
All of it.
All of it.
Yeah.
But curious will have a completely different meaning to you. And it also might not be motivating. And that's the crucial piece. In other words, I walk into that room and I can feel myself being curious.
Yeah.
And that's what I suggest is the distinction between, or the process to being, is being able to do that. And I have had to break it down into component parts, hence me saying earlier, I think it's got component parts.
Yeah.
Because I've taught it to people.
Yeah.
But firstly, to myself. And the funny thing is, I was taught it. The irony, I think, is I was taught it in a place where you would have thought people were helping you to make believe. I was taught it at drama school.
Yeah.
In order for the audience to believe that I am that character, I, Dion, the actor, needs to walk on stage with an intention. For me, the act, the person, the Dion Neubronner, not Macbeth or whoever, to walk on stage in order to be, there are certain things you need to do. And one is to do intentionally.
But to challenge you, it could also be understood as feeling. So
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to agree with you. But I can't sell that. I can't make a living out of that.
You'd be surprised. So it is, it's that difference between the mind and the heart. And it's about creating coherence between the two. Because if the mind and the heart work together, the field of influence is so much bigger.
The field of possibilities is humongous.
And I suppose it doesn't really matter from which way you go if they work together. So whether you start with breaking it down or just feeling it, your outcome is going to be the same.
Mm-hmm. Here's an example of language and how we are trying to use language to help each other understand our points of view.
Yeah. And our understandings are different, but we are actually talking about the same thing. Process.
Yeah. But I like the way you've summed it up there. For me, I've liked that summing up, that there is, it's almost like a top down and bottom up kind of coming together. Bottom meaning coming from within, and top down meaning coming from the mind or the brain. And it's almost this coming together of this, I don't know, some kind of puzzle that or 3D puzzle that is me that fits together.
Yeah.
You know what? I've got a visual of it. I have a visual of it in The Empire Strikes Back. Darth Vader is in his place where he hangs out, and one of the senior commanders from the Star Destroyer comes in and has to ask him, I think he says something like, the Emperor is, I don't know, he doesn't say it like this, the Emperor wants to see you, but that'd be a rather camp kind of way of saying it. But my point is, he's in this thing that it's got these and he's sitting in his chair, and this roof thing comes down, closes, and you're kind of encapsulated in the being of Darth Vader. Anyway, there you go. It's official. Anybody wanting
from
to
the watch dark side. From the dark side angle.
Anybody wanting to use that metaphor, then you need to watch Empire Strikes Back.
And you need to watch Empire Strikes Back anyway, because it's good. Yeah.
Well, you'd miss out on Yoda saying,
do or do not. There is no try.
There you go. That's my point. Simply there. Do or do not. There is no try. He is not saying do from a cerebral perspective. Mm. He is saying what you have said, do from a feeling perspective. So he gets Mr. Luke to feel the Force so he can lift his X-Wing out of the swamp.
But see, that was exactly what he was doing when he was training Luke. He was training him to feel and connect his heart to what he was doing so that he can, you know, move these things and do these things. Because the force is the Force, isn't it?
But you need scene ends when Luke says to Yoda, I just don't believe it. And Yoda says back to him, that is why you fail.
Brilliant. So many life lessons in Star Wars. I mean,
well, coming back to the program Finding Joe, it has a lot of its basis on Eastern philosophies, which is... Star Wars is based on those very many Eastern philosophies, isn't it?
Well, George Lucas wrote it from the hero's journey's perspective. He's actually in the movie and he's talking about how Star Wars is based on, it's one of the classics from this hero's journey perspective. And we connect with it so much because we all on this hero's journey.
In our own lives, yes.
Yeah. So Star Wars is the answer, really.
Absolutely. William's got stickers all over his cupboard doors and things like that. They're all Star Wars stickers. And he wanted, when he got them, I think he was about 5 or 6 or something like that. He asked me which ones are I ones. And I said, pick up Yoda. I want Yoda. So I have Yoda, stick of Yoda on my bedroom door. Oh, and I think I do. I've got a picture of Yoda and I've got a picture of Darth Vader because I love
Darth Vader. A little bit of dark side there. Yeah. But it's the same kind of thing with Thanos. I don't know if you're into kind of. So Thanos is this. Is he like a Greek god? It's one of the Marvel characters, and
I do know
he wants to destroy the world, but he's only wanting to do it so that the other people can have better lives. So he's a really bad guy, but with good intentions, really. Yeah, so he's a Marvel supervillain.
Thanos.
Thanos, yeah, the purple guy.
My only memory of Thanos was being in Mykonos 3 years ago, and the bartender was called Thanos. Oh. He was a very nice guy. He was a Greek god, let me tell you. I love Thanos. I mean, I don't know how many gin and tonics I had at that bar.
And Thanos just became more beautiful by...
he did, and I embraced the Force then. Well, there you have it, hey. So, what are we saying? What are we saying then? We've said a whole lot of things, haven't we?
I think we've gone pretty full circle from segregating from us and them to looking at this thing in two ways, but getting to the same conclusion. So, I mean, we could not agree with each other and say, but no, you shouldn't do, no, you shouldn't. But actually, we're saying the same thing because we listen to the other person's perspective. And I feel that's quite missing these days.
I think you're right. I think that's that's the key issue, both in terms of what we've seen in social media recently, but also in life. It's, we don't truly listen and hear what the other is saying.
Yeah, and it's all a journey, isn't it? We're not going to necessarily always get it right, or maybe even not often either.
Yeah, but I think also there's this fixation on right, which comes back to the validation piece, comes back to the external bit. It's who's right? And whose right is it to be right?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
Who's right? Who's determining what is right here? Yeah.
Which comes back to boxes. If we didn't have boxes, there wouldn't be a right and a wrong, would there?
No.
But we need to also admit that we're not going to always feel happy and clappy and, you know, feel like we're going to conquer the world. Sometimes we're going to feel a bit not so good with the state of affairs, and then tomorrow it might feel a bit better again.
And that's so true when you think about it in the context. Even this morning I was feeling a bit flat. I thought to myself before we started talking here, before we came on this thing called a podcast, that, oh, I feel really flat today. And then I said to myself, yeah, but tomorrow will be fine, Dion, or maybe later will be fine.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Michelle, thank you so much for chatting to me here today. I've loved it again.
Thanks, Dion. It's such a pleasure talking to you and looking at things from different perspectives. I love it.
So that's it. The name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership.